You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Fashion. Turn to the left. Fashion. Turn to the right.
Fashion.
Fashion?
It's fashion with Penelope Noir.
Morena Penny, how are you this morning?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Last time we saw each other was on the red carpet at the Tate Prize last Tuesday. You were running the red carpet.
Yeah.
How was it? Did you have a fun evening?
Yeah, it was really fun. And although it's like not something that I've done before, it was very weird to be asking people like who they were wearing.
What was the vibe of the night? Everyone looked very glamorous. The thing I like about the Tates is everybody dresses kind of like themselves, but a bit shinier. So it's not sort of like ball gowns necessarily, unless you're the kind of person who might just casually wear a ball gown. You know what I mean?
Yep, totally. And I agree with you. And that's what I really loved about it, is that there was a lot, you know, it was very individual, which really reflects the legacy of Dylan Tate. Mm. And while there were some people wearing designer pieces, like Uni Bell wearing the Gloria White lace Madonna dress, she was like pairing that with a denim jacket. And of course, you, Rachel, looked amazing in Jimmy D.
Thank you. Shout out to James, constantly, yeah. Constantly wearing James's clothes.
Yeah, and there was like a lot of individuality, like Namnita Kumar wearing a black and gold sari, and Nadia Friedman wearing a little black dress and a gold detailed jacket. And they, of course, won the NZ On Air Outstanding Music Journalism Award for their podcast, which is really amazing if people haven't listened to it. And also things like Items of Flair. So Denver McCarthy of Micronism wearing a silk scarf with Krishna inscription, and like Ray, the musician Ray, wearing a silk scarf and matching trousers, which I thought was pretty cool.
Yeah, I saw that. I was like, that's very steezy. That is a very glamorous outfit.
And for the most part, a lot of people wore vintage, which I think is great, you know?
Yeah, totally.
But I think and I guess the most cohesive as a band for me was Hans Puckett wearing denim and silk ties.
That was very cool. Yeah, that was very cute. I love seeing how the bands dress as well. I always feel like the Beths, even though I don't think that they plan it, they always look very in sync. Probably
yeah,
just because
totally.
They're a very in sync group of people as it goes. But yeah, it was a really nice night to see everyone in their glad rags, Penny. What is the red carpet all about? You're gonna tell us a wee bit about the history today.
Yeah, oh my gosh, it goes back so far. 458 BC, Aeschylus play about Agamemnon and his wife, Clytemnestra. Got to try and get
sure.
the pronunciation. Yeah,
one.
So basically Agamemnon goes off to the Trojan War and comes back with a girlfriend, which of course his wife is not too God. Pleased about, even though she's hooked up with somebody else. I'm kind of telling people this in a modern term.
Yeah.
But the problem mostly is the fact that Agamemnon, in order to win the Trojan War, had sacrificed his daughter. So of course Clytemnestra is not happy about that, especially when he comes back with a girlfriend.
Have you sacrificed our daughter, but you've got yourself another woman.
Yeah. And so she says, "Let all the ground be red where those feet pass, and justice dark of yore. Home light him to the hearth he looks not for." So basically she lays out the red carpet for him, and then either she murders him or her new boyfriend does.
Wow.
So that's where it kind of starts off.
That's so funny. It's like, it was like being cursed and then getting murdered, and that's how the red carpet started.
Yeah.
Glamorous.
Crazy. And then it becomes kind of synonymous with transport. So James Monroe, the fifth US president, steps off a riverboat in 1821 on a red carpet to show, like, as a show of ceremony. I don't know, like, where he picked that up from. But then in the early 20th century, the red carpet was actually used to guide first-class passengers boarding exclusive train cars. It became a signifier of social status because they were the first-class passengers, and so it was known as the red carpet treatment.
Got you.
Yeah,
and
then
the blood of class war on your hands? No, I'm
yeah,
joking.
Totally.
Just carrying on the Agamemnon theme there.
Theme, yeah. And then in 1922, Sid Grauman, who was the owner of the Egyptian Theatre, held the first premiere in Hollywood for the film Robin Hood, which at the time cost $1 million, which is massive.
That would have been a lot, yeah.
Yeah, so Douglas Fairbanks and other acting royalty kind of walked down the red carpet, and it instantly became associated with glamour. So it became kind of commonplace. But it wasn't until the Oscars in 1961 that the Academy of Motion Picture Arts chose to add the red carpet to the broadcast, even though it was only black and white. But it was an instant success because families turned on to see the pre-awards show of the red carpet.
Ah, right.
Because at this time, like, Hollywood stars weren't out there. Like, the paparazzi didn't cover them so much. You didn't see them. They were always kind of cloistered away doing their own thing.
Yeah.
So for the public to be able to see them in real life and get their autographs as well, they would head on down to the red carpet to see, you know, what they were wearing and all that sort of thing. And at the time, they would have been wearing the clothing that the Hollywood stylists, or the, I guess, the designers would have made for them, that they may have worn in the film. But for the most part, they wore their own clothes. And this kind of went right through the 70s and 80s. Barbara Streisand was renowned for wearing see-through sequined pantsuit when she accepted her 1969 Funny Girl award.
A very iconic outfit. Extremely good. Google it if you haven't seen it.
What I didn't know is that in the 1990s was when kind of everything kind of kicked off for the red carpet as we know it today.
Oh, true. So that's actually not that long ago,
yeah,
really.
Yeah, that's very recent.
Considering the long history of it all.
Yeah, exactly. So Joan and Melissa Rivers for the Channel E started a pre-awards show, and they would ask people as they walked down the red carpet, who are you wearing? And because, like, magazines would cover this to see, like, what people were wearing, and they were comedians and would totally harass the stars and really critique them.
God, I can't imagine anything more stressful than, like, you know, it's your big movie premiere, you're really nervous, you're getting out of your car, and you see Joan Bloody Rivers with a microphone standing there ready to razz you about your dress.
Yeah, and it became, like, a really massive thing. And like, you know, at the time, like, Joan Rivers and Melissa Rivers were ridiculed for the fact that they were asking a question that doesn't make any sense in grammar. Who are you wearing? Because you're not really wearing a person.
Hmm.
And because, as you say, actors were nervous walking down the runway, it was like the easiest thing for them to answer because, you know, they knew what they were wearing,
yeah,
but they didn't want to talk about anything else because they was, you know, they probably hadn't eaten for 3 days, that sort of thing.
Yeah, fade away.
Yeah, and so they kind of became the pre-awards show people to go to. And then Giorgio Armani was the first designer to see this as a, you know, a really good marketing action.
Oh, yeah.
So he started to court actors, and in the 1990s he dressed Michelle Pfeiffer, Jodie Foster, Tom Hanks, Julia Roberts, and he also styled them. But Nicole Kidman was the first to wear couture, and she wore Dior in 1997.
Wow.
Which is actually not that long ago.
No, it's not. Shout outs to Nicole. Always ahead of the game.
Crazy. But this kind of led to, because the actors were being critiqued, they didn't want to start choosing their own clothing. So that's how stylists and fashion ambassadors started.
Wow.
Because they would employ people to dress them, essentially, so that they wouldn't be getting any negative press.
That is so interesting. So you can be like, oh, sorry, it was actually my stylist decided that I would wear this outfit.
It wasn't me, I swear.
I mean, the couture on the runway thing is such a incredible part of any type of big flashy awards or any sort of big thing like that. It's like the Met Gala. You love to see everyone walk up that massive red staircase and see what they're wearing and, yes, probably be a little bit rude about it, but also marvel at it as well. It's quite a cool thing.
Yeah, I mean, like, even if you're not into, like, fashion as such, I think everyone has that kind of voyeuristic tendency to want to see what people wore. And, yeah, it's, I always kind of look at those things the next day, even if I'm not watching the awards.
Yeah.
And I guess the other thing now is also it led to more power to publicists who control who people can interview when they walk down the red carpet, because now they can say, well, you can only talk to this person if you speak about their new film.
Yeah, right.
And that sort of thing. Interestingly, Cannes uses 80 tons of red carpet.
80 tons?
Yeah.
Where do they keep it?
Is that necessary?
Well, it's actually more like, how do they get rid of it?
Yeah.
That's the question I've got, you know. Which is, I didn't kind of like find out much about that. But all these shows like the Oscars and Cannes and all that kind of thing do use a lot of red carpet.
I'd like to imagine there's just a big warehouse they roll it out of every year. I'm crossing my fingers at least, because otherwise that is a lot of red carpet to end up in the bin.
Red Carpet Incorporated is the company they use.
You've given us a Bjork track this morning, and she's a bit of a red carpet legend.
Yes, for her swan dress, her infamous swan dress, which many people like either love or hate. And for people who don't know it, definitely Google it. But basically, it had a skirt of a swan and the neck went round her neck with the beak kind of sitting on her shoulder, in a way, I guess is the best way to describe it.
Yeah. Bjork swan dress walked so Lady Gaga everything else could run, in my opinion. Yeah. I think I sure. love it. Thank you so much, Penny, for bringing us History of the Red Carpet today. We will see you very soon.
Thanks.
Protect you.
That was Fashion with Penelope Noir.
We are the Goon Squad and we're coming to town. Beep, beep.
Beep, beep.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.